Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We are in Acts chapter 4, so if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting verse 5. It came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas and the high priest Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers, the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to this helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be made known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray as we come before you in this passage that you, Lord, would inspire us. That we would see again the boldness and the power that is available to all of us. And Lord, that the work that you desire to do continues on, whether it's in Bangladesh or it's here in these here states. Lord, your Spirit is always moving, always looking, waiting for those that will stand up and actually do exactly what they have been gifted to do. Bless, Lord, this time. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, remember, the lame guy was healed, the guy that was left daily at the beautiful gate. For over 40 years, this man was lame. He was born lame. And then Peter, remember, looked at him, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he walked. Now, before what happened was the people were saying, "Oh, wow, this is amazing. 5,000 people came to know the Lord at this time." Well, the rulers didn't like this, so they threw Peter and John into, if you will, a holding cell. And now they brought them out. Who were the Sadducees and who were the scribes and the rulers? Well, actually, it was the Sadducees, I should say. The Sadducees, if you were the ruling authority, really. They were the majority. It was the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the government, if you will, the spiritual, judicial court or power or authority in Israel. Of course, under Rome, but still for the Jew, that they were the ones that spiritually were guiding and the judicial spiritually. The Sadducees were Sadducees because they didn't believe in the life after. They believed in the life now. Now, what's interesting is, remember, these are the aristocrats. The Sadducees were the aristocrats, which meant what? They were wealthy. They had power. They had prestige. They had it all. They also had, if you will, the lineage of the high priest. And they were very, if you will, strict with the people. They didn't really care much about the populace. Really didn't. They liked being large and in charge. And if you will, they would do and keep whatever they could to keep their power with Rome. Now, the Pharisees, they were, if you will, the religious sect. Now, they were conservative, if you could say. They believed in the whole Old Testament that you hold in your hand. And they believed the Messiah was coming. But see, they prided themselves with their sanctity. They prided themselves with their knowledge of Scripture. And so you had these two factions in the Sanhedrin, which was made up of 70, but the majority of them were the Sadducees. Now, there was also the high priest, which made 71. But Annas, as you see, was the high priest, but he wasn't the high priest. See, he was the high priest from 6 AD to 16 AD. But he did something, the Romans didn't like him, so they removed him from that office. But, see, once you were the high priest, according to God, you were the high priest until you died. Now, what was happening was Caiaphas was his son-in-law. So, Annas, it's been told, that he's the one that owned the marketplace in the courts of the Gentiles. The very courts that Jesus came and flipped the tables and stuff. A lot of that was his income. That's why he wasn't very pleased about this. And now see, the high priest at this time too, when the Romans would keep switching them out, went to the highest bidder. The interesting thing, the highest bidder was always Annas. Though Annas couldn't be high priest, it was always a relative of his up until 70 AD, which you remember what happened. That's when the Romans came in and basically dispersed the Jewish nation. So Annas, again, loved his power. Who was John? We don't know. Some think he was Jonathan, which would have been another son of Annas. Who was Alexander? Don't know. Have no idea why Luke put Alexander in there, but there he is, Alexander. Now, what's interesting is then, if you look at verse 7, they had set them in the midst of them. They asked, by what power, by what name you have done this? So what they did was, in front of these, again, this court, if you will, in a half circle, they put Peter and John, these uneducated men, before them in the middle, in the center. Now, they're from Galilee. I don't know how to say this. It's like somebody, what do you call it? Oh, I know you guys in Nebraskans and Iowans, you call them bumpkins. It's like Iowans came in here uneducated and they're going to sit there and go, okay, listen to these country bumpkins. What gave you the power and the authority to do this? The emphasis was on you. Why did you do this? What right did you have? It was a contempt. It was keeping them in their place, keeping them in jail, and then putting them right there in the focal point, surrounded by these educated, high powerful men. And it's like, what gave you the right? What gave you the power? What gave you the authority? Because it wasn't us who did it. Now, this is where it gets good. Look at verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Now, very respectful, but notice he's filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled means to be filled. But it's in the passive verb. What does it mean? Peter stands up and he yields to the Holy Spirit. It's key. Why would Peter do this? Well, see, two things. First, understand the Lord told them. Now, when they bring you to the synagogue and magistrates and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So Peter, understanding this, submitting to God's word, to the Lord's word, stood up, filled with the Holy Spirit, passive yielding to it, an overflowing. But remember something Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When he said walk, it indicates a continuous action, a habitual lifestyle. Walking implies progress. As a believer submits to the Spirit's control, he grows in his spiritual life. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But what it means actually in the verb in the Greek, it's be, keep filling with the Spirit. Keep yielding to the Spirit. Keep allowing the Spirit to work in your life by yielding to Him. Now, let's stop. Because this is a very important key for you and for me. The Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian this morning, is in you. That's not my word. That's the word of God. He's in you. But are we yielding to Him? Are we daily asking Him to fill us and that we would yield to Him? When that happens, there is, if you will, power. And we'll get more into that. Look at verse 9. Peter again talking. If we this day, emphasis on we, if we this day are judged for a good deed, not a criminal act, but a good deed because this man is made well. That word made well is sozo. It means to save. It means to make whole. And if you're saying what means, that word can also say by who. That this man is made whole. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, emphasis on you, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Now understand something. Not only, again, we're looking at let it be known to you, all Israel, but when he said by the name, he's saying by the character, by the person, by the authority, by the power of Jesus Christ. Now you might read that, you go, oh, Jesus Christ, you think that's his last name. No, Christ means anointed. In Hebrew, it means Messiah. So what are you saying? That you crucified the Messiah whom God raised up from the dead, that we are witnesses of that. We have seen him. See the power and authority he's speaking with? It's amazing, isn't it? That you, plural, God raised, the tomb is empty, you know it, I know it, we're witnesses, he's alive. It's by his name, by his authority, that this man stands before you whole. Whole. Made whole. Walking. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. The stone that was rejected, it means to make no account, to despise utterly. That you builders is exactly what Jesus referred to earlier. He said to them, have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him. Listen, why? Because they feared the multitude. They knew he was speaking against them, the rulers. Peter is reminding them what Jesus said. You rejected, you rulers who are supposed to be leading the children or the house of Israel, you, the builders, the maintain the house of Israel, which the house of God is in the midst of the house of Israel, that you are to maintain it, that you are to educate and teach the populace. But if you will, I know I'm going a little further, but understand the scope of this, that you rich, powerful men who have let the children not eat their bread, when the Messiah came, the bread of life, you rejected him, you. And by his name, his power, his authority, this man stands before you now. He's the chief cornerstone. And Isaiah put it this way. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people, who are in Jerusalem, because you have said we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol. We are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Interesting. Powerful. Amazing. A foundation. Life. Now, one of the most powerful statements of salvation spoken, verse 12. Nor in the Messiah, Jesus, whom you crucified, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That word salvation means deliverance, preservation, safety of the soul. From what? The penalty, the power, the presence, and the pleasure of empty sin. Saved means the same word we just used in verse 9 to describe the healing of the lame man. Jesus was not only the source, listen, Jesus was not only the source of healing this man because of the cause of sin, but also he was the source of spiritual healing, rectifying the root cause, sin. Bless you. Salvation. Made whole. Each of us that have received Christ have been made whole. You feel that right now? Oh, it's simple, isn't it? It's simple to feel it one moment and then the next you don't. It's like walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. One minute you may be, as we were worshiping the Lord, everything's good. And then somebody says something to you and then it gets you in your flesh. Oh, the flesh. It's an interesting thing because it loves to be touched. It loves to be pampered. It loves to be fed. Craves, it hungers, it thirsts, and always leaves you wanting. And we now have become spiritual beings and we're learning to cast off the flesh. We're learning to reckon that old man dead. Why? Because there is no salvation in any other. And he has made us whole by dying on the cross, taking our sins upon himself. We have to understand something. He is the only way. There is no other way. At Jesus' own words, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Later on, he'll say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Paul will go on to say, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Only way. The only way. There's a lot of churches right now that are trying to incorporate all the religions. And there's a movement for all the religions to find some commonality and say we're all from the same cloth. We're all reaching up to God in our own unique ways and we're all going to make it up there. But see, the thing is, if that was true, then it's really weird because see, a lot of the population believes in something called nirvana. And nirvana, basically, when you die, is nothingness. Think about that. You have no conscience, you have no thought. Why? Because, again, it's the same answer that Christ has given to us. What is it? Saved from our guilt, our shame, our memory. Free. Now, see, I know you're like me because, see, I want to know somebody that knows the truth. That's all I want is the truth. Even today, I just want the truth. Even if it's going to hurt, just tell me the truth. I want the media just to tell us the truth. I want the president to tell us the truth. The Congress, tell us the truth. The ones that are in charge of the government, tell us the truth. In the city, in the state, tell us the truth. Stop with all this embellishing, all these lies, all this going around the end and not telling us the facts. And then when you get the facts, they twist them. Just tell us the truth. I want to know. Wouldn't you want that from God? Wouldn't you want God to say what the truth is? Just think of God as going, well, yeah, I don't really know. I mean, you know, I guess there, any way you can get up here would be fine. I'm not too sure about that yet. Wait a minute. Then that's not a God I want. I want a God that knows where he's going. I want to know a God that has sovereign. I want to know a God that's all powerful, all knowing, a God that knows the way. And so think about it. So then he came to the earth to show the way. And then he declares, I'm the way. But you have two choices. See, there's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to my throne. But to reach my throne, you must first come through my sacrifice. Now, oh, that's good. And you know that. I know that. But see, there's something else we have to touch here. Look at verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, meaning they didn't go to their school. They went to a lot better school. What school? They perceived that, they marveled, excuse me, it dawned on them, they realized they had been with Jesus. Can you imagine that? Now, there's something that's coming back, I hear. And see, when I was an apprentice, that's what they used to call them, it was on-job training that you would get with somebody that would understand a trade or an occupation. And then they would take you by the wing and they would teach you. But they wouldn't just teach you by book. They would teach you by word, by showing you, and then you do it. That's a good apprenticeship. I want to learn. I want to get hands on. I want to touch the material. I want to see how this works. So what did Jesus do? He got 12 men and said, come on, boys, I'm going to teach you some things. Now, just imagine that. Imagine being with the Lord. And I know that's a lot of people's dream. Oh, if I could only be with the Lord, that would be wonderful. But we'll get to that. But just imagine that you were with him. First, you would see him do things that no other man's ever done. And you'd be amazed. In fact, you'd be awestruck, wouldn't you? He's walking on water. He's calming the storms. Who is this guy? He's healing the lame, the blind. Amazing. I want to be more part of this. But then he starts speaking, and then your ears, your heart, and everything about you is just going, oh my goodness, he's talking to my soul. There's a healing process that's happening, but then he starts saying these hard sayings like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. I am the light. I'm everything you need. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the vine. And in essence, he's saying, you need me more than your very breath. Me. And I should be the center of your world. Because I've made you the center of my heart. Now come. Let me teach you. Let me instruct you. Now, I don't know about you, but I like reading very intelligent people, even though a lot of times it goes over my head. I got to read them like 4 or 5 times. I got to keep going over it to figure out what they're saying and everything. Sometimes they're using big words. I have to look it up in the dictionary. But that still, it just amazes me. I still like to listen to intelligent people, too, when I listen on the YouTube or whatever. It amazes me. There's a thought process. You know, I mentioned Charlie Kirk. He's he was a very intelligent man. I was amazed at how he had this memory that he could just bring up all these facts and that how he was able to argue and discuss these things. People like that just amaze me. But just think if you were with Jesus and you're going, oh, my goodness, I don't understand a lot of this stuff. And Jesus said, don't worry, boy. The Spirit will bring it to remembrance. The Holy Spirit will help you. He'll teach you. The things that I'm saying right now, you might not remember them, but that's okay, because the Holy Spirit's going to guide you, teach you. Don't worry about what you're going to say. When they put you in front of heated places, when they put you in the fire, don't worry about why. Because the fire is going to be in you, my Spirit. And then they'll be in the fire. You just keep listening, keep learning, keep growing, keep trusting, keep yielding, and you'll see. And now, if you will, that's exactly what happened. They were with Jesus. I'm going to leave you with just a few things and we'll call it a day. And a lot of this you're going to know because, again, it goes back to just the simple things. And if you will, that's what Jesus kept doing. He kept going over the same things over. And you know, if you're a teacher, a parent, instructor, you go over it. It's repetition. You go over it. You go over it until you learn it. You learn it. And sometimes the sad thing is I'm still learning things I should have learned a long time ago. And you know what? I keep going over those same lessons. You too? That's all right. He's patient. But just remember these things. Number one. See, they were with Jesus. Please hear this. I know you say, well, I do. Do you? Really? Do you spend time with Jesus? Do you? See, the thing is that like Peter was getting on these people because they were supposed to build the house of God. They were supposed to instruct the people. Jesus said something very telling. He says, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. So see, it's spending that time with him, but it's also listening and then obeying what you know and I know what to do. Not just putting it to the side, but saying, this is something I understand that I am supposed to put into practice, that I am supposed to live out this day. And one of them is just like we're talking right now, spending time with him, reading his word, reading it as if he's sitting there speaking to you, understanding that if you don't understand it, you have the Holy Spirit. John tells us this. You have an anointing you have received, abides in you. You don't need that anyone teach you, as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true, is not a lie, just as he taught you, abide in him, stay with him. Now, you might be saying, well, then get out of here. We don't need you. Why are you standing up there? What am I doing? These aren't my opinions. We're going back to the Word of God. It's for us to absorb, us to look at together, chew on, eat, meditate, spend time in. And it's true, too. Are you doing that in a daily process? And if you're saying, I am, but I'm not getting anything out of it, keep going. Don't ever think that. Trust me. It always seems to happen that when I read something and I don't think it has anything to do with anything, that day he brings it to remembrance and it's very applicable. Don't ever. Open your heart. Open your eyes. Spend the time. If you're just giving the Lord 5-10 minutes a day, then you're not giving him enough. I know some people say, well, if you're doing that, that's good. It's not. See, we've got to learn to do something, and that's to sit at his feet and spend time with him. To be a master builder. To allow him to teach us. And to yield to his Spirit. When we do that, and by yielding by his Spirit, understand, we already talked about a few things. One is God's word and obeying it. But here's the other. Because this gets really, really to the nerve, okay? It's understanding when you're in the flesh and when you're in the Spirit. Flesh is about me. It's about my cravings. It's interesting because it's like I was telling you. I just read Numbers just this morning about how the cravings of the Israelites caused them to sin. We all have cravings. We all hunger. But when we allow them to cause us to take something out of the obedience or the will of God, then we've basically earned the flesh. I'm hungry right now. Are you? Soon I will be with a few people and we're going to be eating together. Now, I could say I'm hungry and shove everybody out of the way and get my plates. And I could pile it high and I can go sit down and I can eat and it'll be good. But I did it in the flesh. It's discerning and understanding flesh, spirit. Flesh, spirit. A lot of it, though, happens, too, is when we internalize something that somebody says to us and we put it into our heart and say, oh, that hurt. Again, the person was mocking me. The person was making fun of me. The person was, instead of just saying, God, I give it to you. You made me. I don't want to go down that road, because the enemy will just start going, hey, what did he mean by that? How dare he? Who does he think he is? Just so you know, that's the flesh. The spirit says, Lord, that hurt, I'm giving it to you. And if it continues to stir in your heart, you continue to give it to the Lord. You continue to say, Lord, this really does hurt. And if it's still not going away, then what you do is go to step one again. Go away with him. Just go away with him. Because I guarantee you something. If you really are open and yielding to his spirit, then he'll minister to you. Time and time again, I've understood this. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has revealed, you're in the flesh. Oh, I know that may hurt. I know, because nobody likes to crucify or reckon the old man dead, not when somebody inflicts pain. But understand something. Jesus desires to reveal himself to us. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Something's happening in you right now. Though, again, what you can do in experiencing it more and more is yield to His Spirit, spend time staring at His face, seeing who He is, and then something's happening. The more you look at Jesus, the more you begin to look like Jesus. And it's not your work. It's the Spirit's. Now, I'm being transformed is what's happening. So he's revealing Christ to me. But he also is revealing Christ in me. A lot of times we go by, again, the feelings and the emotions that we have. Timothy had a struggle with that. Timothy at times would feel kind of, if you will, unprepared. Not bold enough. Not straight with what his theology may be at times. That he had a physical ailment. Listen to what Paul says to him. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. In us, a power. Peter stood up with a power, not his. He yielded to the Spirit, and the Spirit empowered him. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You probably have that memorized. So let us understand what that means is yielding to him. Because nothing's too hard for him. Oh, for me? Oh, my goodness, it's hard. So we see that he reveals himself to us, in us, and through us. Now, the in and through kind of go together. Why? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit.
It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, goodness, it's gentleness, self-control. But if you notice, those are things too that I interact with people. People see these things. But again, it's not something that I produce. It's something that I yield to and allow the Spirit to work these things in and through me so that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that reveals Christ. Which brings us that if it's through us, then guess what we're doing? We're shining His light. He said, I'm the light of the world. Then He says to us, now you're the light of the world. My mighty torch has now lit your candles. This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. How do you let it shine? Let Him shine through us. I know what you're thinking. You're staring at me like, oh, this is good stuff, but man, this is hard. How do I do this? How do I apply? We want steps. We want steps. I'm giving you steps. It's not going to change. I can't tell you how many books I've read through my life of trying to be a mature Christian, trying to leapfrog things, trying to get ahead, trying. But the reality is it's always the same thing. Spend time with me. Learn about me. Obey me. Understand what I've given you. Yield to me. Understand that I want to use you. You have a power now that is beyond all human thinking because it's my Spirit. Now let me yield fruit through you so that you'd be a light. You feel inadequate? Go back to step one. So we see that again, that he reveals himself to us. He reveals himself in us. He reveals us through us. His light starts shining and something else begins to happen. Not only is the light shining, Paul puts it this way. Well, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Isn't that interesting? In triumph in Christ. If you read enough about Paul, you'd say, yeah, triumph. But then if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you understand he went through a lot. But no, see, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are aroma of death leading to death, but to the other aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient of these things? There's a beautiful story. I just went over it with some guys recently. It's Mary. I love Mary. I want to meet Mary. I don't mean Mother Mary. I'd like to meet her too. No, I mean Martha's sister Mary. She had an intuition. She had a spiritual insight that I think was beyond the disciples, really. But see, right before Jesus' death, a week before Jesus' death, she took her fragrant oil. It was worth a year's wage, which many believe was her dowry. How old was Mary? That's a question. I don't know. She could have been in her 30s or 40s or 50s. She could have been just a teenager. That perfume could have been her dowry. What did she do? She broke it. She poured it on his feet, which a servant would do. And then she took what was known as a woman's glory in Scripture, and she started wiping her hair on his feet. And you might think, oh, that's cute. Now, this was really something that was kind of disgusting in some ways, and yet very unique and beautiful in the other. In man's eyes, it was disgusting, but in Christ's eyes, it was beautiful. Because see, she did this for my burial. But see, something happened when she broke that alabaster jar and put it on his feet. The whole house became aware of this fragrance that permeated the whole house. But the fragrance was on his feet. But as Mary worshipped the Lord, and she rubbed her hair on his feet, and she too partook of the fragrance that was now in the house, that was from Christ's feet, that's now on her, because she worshiped at his feet. She displayed, she gave out the aroma of Jesus Christ. Are you spending time with him? Are you yielding to him? Because if you are, then you get what Peter says. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I have no cute story to say. I have no other conclusion than this. Are we spending the time? Are we yielding to his Spirit? Are we believing his word? Are we trusting in his guidance? Are we allowing his fragrance and his light shine and dwell wherever we go? Knowing just like Peter. Peter wasn't standing up thinking, oh boy, look at me, because Peter in the back of his mind, oh Lord, I denied you 3 times. Here now I stand. I yield to you. You feel that way? You say, ah, I've failed him so many times. He's going, nah. I mean, I get it, preach. It sounds great and everything, but you got to understand something. It's me. That flesh thing, oh, it's all me. 2 things. Remember this. Don't ever forget this. Because if you forget this and you're missing out, what is it? Number one, God loves you too much to leave you that way. So he's going to work on it. So you either yield to him or you just continue to fight against him, which just prolongs everything. But the second thing is just the better news. What is it? In heaven, it ain't going to happen anymore. The flesh isn't going to battle your spirit. You will be whole. But why do it now, you may ask? Because again, don't you want to see his face? Don't you just want to walk with him? Don't you want to be educated by him? Don't you want to smell like him? Don't you want your life to count for him? Up to each of us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. And Lord, we all struggle a lot with this, but we all understand the truth of your word, for it is powerful, it's living, it's sharp, and it's true. So Father, I just pray, as we learn these things again, as we go over them, understanding what it means to be in Christ, to understand what it means for Christ to be in us, knowing that your Spirit desires to do such a wonderful work in us and through us, revealing him to us. Lord, my prayer is for each of us that we would yield ourselves to you, even now this morning. But also understanding that it means it's going to be a battle and we have to yield constantly. Prayer for everyone here, Lord, that you would bless them, that your face would shine upon them, that your grace and your mercy would bestow upon them a new outlook, a new understanding, that your light would shine in and through all of us, Lord, that the fragrance of who you are, your truth, your life would shine to us, in us, and through us. Bless our ears this morning and encourage us to walk, growing, living, being filled constantly in your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we ask, the one that has all authority, the one that has all power, the one whose will it is for these things to be so. In his name we ask.